Welcome to Everyday Drinkers. I'm your host, Derek Schulmer, and today we're going to be deviating from the standard cast of characters. Today we're speaking with Dan Tullio from Canadian Club. He is the brand ambassador for their whiskeys. He's going to teach us a lot about some of the styles of whiskey that exist out there, what makes Canadian whiskey versus other whiskeys, tasting methods to how you should taste your whiskey, and a question that we've had on the podcast, which is, what do you do when somebody says that you have to have ice or water in your whiskey? Does it make it better? Does it make it worse? Does it just change it in general? And what should you be doing? I hope you enjoy the show, and we'll have another podcast with all of our friends from the Everyday Drinkers podcast coming soon. Here you go.
My name is Dan Tullio, and I'm the Director of Brand Heritage for Canadian Club Whiskey here in Canada. I work at the distillery. I've been with the company for 28 years, and I'm very proud to represent Canadian Club in a number of markets globally. The U.S. market is our largest market, of course, followed by Canada, Australia, Japan. And as the ambassador of the brand, I speak with media and with our trade, and hopefully bring forward the key points of differentiation of our brand versus other Canadian whiskeys and right. Whiskey in general.
Is that your official title? Because I've seen the brand ambassador all over the place when I was kind of doing some research.
Yeah, my official title is Director, Canadian Club Whiskey, Brand Heritage Department, and Global Ambassador. In our company at Beam Global Spirits and Wine, we have ambassadors for each one of the major brands. Maker's Mark, for example, Jim Beam, Canadian Club, Courvoisier.
Oh, that's cool. And now you've been doing this for 28 years. And that's just with Canadian Club, correct?
Yeah, here at the distillery, I've been here for 28 years. I've had a number of different jobs, but most recently, I would have to say in the last 10 years, I've been anointed as the ambassador of the brand, the CC Godfather, as I'm also known.
I've heard that too. What brought you to the whiskey? Like, for instance, everybody kind of gets in, some people go for a specific role in life and they end up taking turns and ending up doing things that they never thought would happen. Was that sort of like where you came from, or did you go in this going, I want to know all there is about whiskey?
Well, here at the Canadian Club Brand Center, this is one of the larger employers in this area in southwestern Ontario. And graduating from university, I applied and I got in. And actually, I started in the computer department and was there for a couple of years, and then I moved into a marketing and sales role. And that's basically what I've been doing for the last 25 years or so. So I've been involved with other brands, but most recently with Canadian Club for the last 10, 12 years.
So then since you know everything about the Canadian whiskey, what really... Is there something that defines Canadian whiskey opposed to other whiskey styles? Like, is it just certain regions? Like, I know with bourbon as well, it's typically made in that region of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something to do with the barrels? Or is there a flavor profile that really stands out as this is Canadian?
Yeah, well, to be called a Canadian whiskey, the government has set forth rules and regulations, you see, similar to the rules and regulations that, that bourbon distillers have to follow in the United States or Scotch distillers. To be called a Canadian whiskey, we have to use a variety of cereal grains. For the Canadian Club portfolio of brands, we use corn, rye malt, and barley malt. We have to age our product in what is referred to as small wood. And what we do is we purchase once-used white oak American bourbon barrels. To be called an American bourbon, of course, it has to go into brand new wood every single time.
Right.
We Canadians, similar to Scottish and Irish distillers, we use our barrels several times, and that's what gives our Canadian Club more of a mellow oak flavor profile.
So, because when you get the new oak, you're going to get you can end up with like this intense oak that's almost over the top.
It's quite aggressive. You
know? Right.
And also, we also have to be aged for a minimum of 3 years. We feel that 36 months isn't long enough. The youngest brand within our portfolio, it's Canadian Club, it's 6 years old.
Right.
And of course, our consumers know the longer in the barrel, the more oak flavor is imparted to the distillate.
Right. Now, if you had a new oak, you could probably do it a little shorter because would it just get out of control?
Yeah, well, it's very expensive to go into brand new wood every time. I believe our American bourbon friends are paying anywhere from $400 to $500 a barrel. Purchasing once-used white oak American bourbon barrels, it runs us about $110 a barrel. And we currently have about 1.3 million barrels of aging product out at our barrel aging warehouse facility.
Okay, so that actually kind of rolls into like the pricing structure where when you're looking at a different style of whiskey, you'll get some that, like I've seen, out of every product that's on the shelves, besides tequila's getting up there and some vodka brands, whiskey seems to be, there's ones that are just way overpriced, like things that I've never even could imagine purchasing. And I've always tried to figure out what makes that price structure. Like, is it really based on the barrel itself? Is it based on just how long it's been sitting in, the storage areas that, you know, that's got to cost money. Mm-hmm. So you're...
Well, yeah, it's very expensive to make whiskey. And, you know, it's not like the vodka guys and gals, you know, they make it yesterday, they bottle it today and tomorrow. With us, we have to, we purchase oak barrels, product, you know, alcohol is sitting in the barrels. So there's a lot of asset just sitting for, you know, 6 years in our case, you know, and that's the regular Canadian club. And then during that time period, we also experience evaporation. We're averaging about 3% a year. So if you do a mathematical calculation over a 6 year period in a 40 gallon cask, we lose 8 gallons at full barreling strength. And that's at 72% alcohol or 144 proof. That's the maximum that we can, maximum strength in the barrel. So every 6 years of those 1.3 million barrels, we're losing 8 gallons.
Wow.
You know, that's, it's almost a quarter. So it's very expensive to make whiskey.
Is there any techniques that could be, like, as technology gets, I mean, do you guys get to implement any type of newer technologies to try and reduce those type of cost problems?
I recently got back from Japan. And in Okinawa, we have a facility, a barrel aging warehouse facility, whereby the folks over there are able to recapture the evaporation. And basically, what it is, it's a long barrel aging warehouse facility, and with a dome over it. And right along one side, if you can imagine, it's like a huge dehumidifier, similar that is something that we would have at home.
Yeah.
And basically what the dehumidifier is doing is it's capturing all of the moisture within the warehouse. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is they are distilling the liquid that's coming off of the dehumidifier equipment. So that's how they're able to recapture the evaporation.
That's awesome.
But then, you know, we here at the plant, we've done a number of different things to try to minimize the evaporation. For example, the fellows out there wax-coated barrels, and they put barrels into heavy-duty plastic bags and sealed them up. And after about 3-4 years, they open up the barrels. They expose the wax, and the liquid that was sitting there for the 4 years in this completely encapsulated barrel did not age at all. The way it came out is the exact same way that it went in. So, you know, the whiskey does have to work with the wood. And you see, what happens is that these barrels are porous. They're not like a sponge, but then again, they're not solid like glass.
Right.
So as a result of, temperature changes and atmospheric pressure changes, the liquid expands and contracts. And as it does that, As the liquid comes back into the distillate, that's where it gets its color, its aroma, its taste, like butterscotch and caramel. So it has to interact with the air. There's no way around it.
Like a wine, like with the cork still, you know, it's not a solid form. It's porous, and it ages it as it's been sitting for, you know, 15, 20 years. So I could, you know, it kind of follows that same thing where you need to have like the oxygen kind of in there a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, the longer in the barrel, more solids are imparted to the distillate. Last year, we celebrated our 150th anniversary for Canadian Club. And 31 years ago, the master blender at that time and his staff, they set aside 89 barrels of Canadian Club. And over the 30-year period, the barrels were re-gauged. So what they would do every other year, they would take, for example, barrel number 89 and top up the other 88 barrels. In short, after 30 years, we ended up with 39 barrels of Canadian Club 30-year-old. And we used that that liquid to commemorate our 150th anniversary. And we were able to bottle 18,000 cases, and that was for the whole world. And 12 months later, I don't think you could be able to find a bottle on any shelf across the globe.
Now, do you think that people are buying it in order to drink it, or do you think they're buying it as like a collector, like a put it away and just own mm-hmm. it? Like, is there a certain market for that, right?
Yeah, when I was traveling around and talking about this brand, I would tell everyone, hey, folks, buy two bottles, one to drink and one to display, you know, because this is a one-time deal here.
Right. And now is that the oldest Canadian Club that has existed?
Yes, that is the oldest variant of CC ever produced. And in fact, it's the oldest of any Canadian whiskey ever made available to consumers.
This would make, now Canadian Club is one of the oldest, if not the oldest facility, correct?
That's correct. Yep. It all began with our founding father, Hiram Walker, and the company was established in 1858.
So then you get that advantage of being able to even, you know, compete at that oldest level.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too many brands survive 150 years, you know. Oh, 151 right now, actually.
This is true. Now you're talking about the difference in the 30, let's say, like, for instance, what I've got here is I've got the reserve 10-year and the 12-year. From the color wise, I don't see too much difference in the two different years. But now when you're looking at something that's 20 years older, is it like a rich dark color? Like, is that kind of where you're going to get the color quality, if you will?
It actually takes on a red copper color. And of course, all of this is as a result of the solids being imparted, you know, from the barrel. Yet those various marks, for example, the regular Canadian Club, and then Canadian Club 10-year-old Reserve, and Canadian Club Classic 12-year-old, those products there are, like, for example, Classic 12 by Canadian Club is not Canadian Club aged 6 more years, okay? Right. In production of whiskey, if you tweak 3 specific things, you end up with a different taste profile product. If you modify the ratio of grains or the type of grains, okay? Secondly, if you modify or change the type of barrel or the length of maturation. So it's if you modify the ratios, the length of maturation or the type of barrel, you end up with a different taste profile product. So for example, Canadian Club has a specific recipe. And we use corn, rye malt, and barley malt. It's aged for 6 years, and then 20% of the liquid in that bottle comes to us from barrels that have just arrived from the United States.
Right.
Because newer barrels, of course, impart more flavor. Reserve, for example, which is a 10-year-old format of Canadian Club, is in fact 4 years older. Secondly, that particular product has a higher percentage of rye and rye malt. So if you like you know, the spicy notes that rye delivers, for example, rye bread versus a white bread.
Right.
If you like that, this brand will deliver it. Okay? So it's 10 years old and it has a higher percentage of rye and rye malt. And 40% of the liquid in that bottle comes to us from barrels that have just arrived from the United States.
Will you get a little more oak that way, considering the barrels are newer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, 40% of the liquid in there is from new barrels, plus it goes in there for an additional 48 months.
All right.
Versus Canadian Club. And then Classic 12 by Canadian Club, that particular product there has a higher percentage of barley malt. And barley malt grains have much more of a softer, smoother taste versus a spicy rye. Okay, so Classic 12 has got a higher percentage of barley malt. It is, in fact, in a barrel for 12 years. And 60% of the liquid comes to us from new barrels that have arrived from the United States 12 years ago.
That actually kind of makes a little more sense, because when I was tasting the differences, coming in from not having that knowledge, I assumed, wow, look, you get 2 extra years. This must be why it's so smooth and creamy, and it's got, it was just smoother, harder to explain, I guess, but it seemed a little thicker, little like more viscosity to it, and you just get. It was a completely different experience. I was like, wow, this is it's a 2 year difference, and it seems like there's a lot going on here that's different besides just the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, with our barrels, we use them up to as many as four times. So for in the case of Canadian Club, there's aging spirit out at our barrel aging warehouse, whereby the barrel could be 24 years old.
There was I did have one. This is a weird, curious factor. I didn't know what you did. What do you do with the old barrels after, like, you're getting barrels from the bourbon and then you're finished with them? Where do they go?
What we do is we sell them to companies like Home Depot, and they'll have, you know, they cut them in half and then we end up buying them as planters. We also sell a bulk of those barrels to competitive Canadian whiskey companies, other Canadian whiskey companies, and then
really?
They use them.
That's what, actually, that I had a question about that too. What is, I mean, you've got these specific key differences from Canadian Club to other Canadian brands as well. So how do you compete against somebody who's making something that's inferior either because of the quality or they're just trying to make a lower brand?
Well, you know, what we always speak about is, you know, the rich history that Canadian Club has, and it truly is. I mean, Canadian Club does have a very strong, rich history with our founding father, Hiram Walker, and taking it all the way through Prohibition and today. The second thing we always talk about is the quality of the brand. You know, it's the juice inside that counts. And a lot of the other Canadian whiskey companies may not have a very strong, rich history, or the quality may not be there. But, you know, for example, we talk to our consumers about one key point of differentiation, and we have a patent on this. What we do here at the distillery, we produce distillate from corn, rye malt, and barley malt separately, okay? And then at the end of the day, the master blender and his staff, what they do is they blend those various distillates together according to recipe, and then we put it into a barrel for the 6, 10, 12, 15, 20, 30-year period. So by blending before aging, it allows the various distillates to marry in there.
What does that take more time to, you know, looking at from a qualities perspective, where you're putting more time and energy into it? Does it require more time and energy, or is it just a specific way of doing the brand that's different?
This is a key unique point of differentiation. We have a patent on this. And this dates back to good old Uncle Hiram Walker when he started the brand. So by blending before aging, it allows those various distillates to marry. If I can give you an analogy, if we were to make a stew today, I think you would agree with me that if we cooked, you know, the meat separately from the potatoes, separately from the corn, et cetera, and then we put it all together, that would taste so much different versus us cooking all of those ingredients together in the pot.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't do them all separately. That seems weird.
Right. Yeah. So by blending before aging, it allows them to marry. And there's a lot of chemical reactions that occurred during that time period in the barrel.
Now, do you find that, is there any such thing as too much oak in a whiskey? Like, can you have too much, not necessarily in Canadian Club, but in general, in things that you've had or tasted or competitors, is there way over oaked? Have you ever had that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I am the type of a drinker whereby I like my spirit over ice. You know, a couple of ice cubes, a couple of minutes, a couple of ounces, that's a perfect time to drink it. And if it's excessive in oak, you know, it starts hurting in the back of your ears and get all those sour notes. To me, it's not enjoyable.
That's weird. We last week when we were talking about whiskey with some of my friends, there was some folks that, and I'd like to cover this because I think it was an important keynote for some of the people that either listen or that I associate with. It comes down to the ice, water, or just straight whiskey. Now, one of the women that's typically on our show likes to have her whiskey. She puts it in the freezer and doesn't put it over ice. She chills the whiskey itself. Is something that's maybe not chemically different, but the profile changes when you chill something without adding the actual water to it?
I believe it does. You know, again, there's the old, in our industry, we call it the 2-2-2 rule. You know, 2 ounces, 2 minutes, two solid ice cubes. That's the perfect time and way to drink it. This is what we've heard from a number of mixologists that that I hang around with. And in fact, I just got back from the Far East just a short while ago, and bartenders, of course, are revered. These are like very important jobs in the Far East, in South Korea and Japan. And at the beginning of every shift, you know, the better establishments, you have the bartenders, they purchase a crystal clear slab of ice, okay?
Right.
And they cut it into cubes. And then with the knife, they shave it into the size of a hardball baseball.
Okay? Right.
And they put it into a freezer. And when it comes time for consumers to enjoy a drink, they basically have a fluted-shaped cocktail glass. They put this baseball-size hardball piece of ice in the glass, and then a couple 3 ounces of whiskey. And you're able to maintain that 2-2-2 phenomena for much longer. See, for example, here, the way that we do it here, we might be putting 18 ice cubes in a glass, let's say.
Right.
And the meltdown dilation rate is much more accelerated because of all of the surface space of that ice versus one piece of baseball-sized ice cube. So you're able to retain that 2-2-2 phenomenon.
So then the goal is
kind of interesting.
Less. So your ultimate goal is to chill it, but not add too much water.
Correct.
And now,
correct.
If you're chilling it without adding any water, does that mute or amplify any specific flavors? Or like, what does the water property do to it? Does it mute certain oaks or something? That, because I know for a fact it gives different flavor. It's like you're experiencing two separate types of drinks.
Yes. Yeah. See, alcohol molecules they're like basketball-sized molecules, and they're constantly pushing against each other. So at full strength, when you're enjoying the whiskey at full strength, you're not really getting all of the flavor that should be coming out. So that's why we add a little bit of water, or you put it over ice for a little short period of time, because water molecules are small. They're baseball size versus basketball size alcohol molecules. So by adding a little water in there, you'll see a tornado happen inside that whiskey initially, right?
Yeah.
Because of the viscosity is now breaking down. So those little water molecules are getting in between the fighting alcohol molecules, and it opens it up and it releases all of the flavors.
Huh.
So that's why it's suggested to, you know, add some water to it so that you can. And if you were to take two different glasses and you enjoy one straight, full strength, versus one that you've added, let's say, 5-8 teardrops of water, it's completely different.
Huh.
Completely different. You know, one brand that really exemplifies what I just mentioned is Lafroy.
Okay.
If you were to add just a little bit of water to Lafroy, it's a single malt Scotch whiskey. It really does open it up, and you can really taste, you know, the variety of different flavors and spices that the brand delivers.
So to get the most out of a brand, you should add a little water or two ice cubes.
I would think so. But then again, you know, I've got a different taste profile than others. And
right. That's,
you know, we suggest to enjoy it the way that you like it most, I guess.
That was my point when she said, I like to freeze it and make it chill, but I don't like to add a lot of water because I like the bite, I like this, I like that. Well, then that's, you know, you can't argue against that. That's the way they like it. Why would you tell them that they could be drinking it better? This is how they want it. This is how they like it. As long as they try the other methods, I guess, you could do the side-by-side comparison and choose for yourself. Now, what do you think of of whiskey within a cocktail? Like, do you believe that whiskey should always be sipped alone, or is there a place and time for a cocktail? Not necessarily just like a Manhattan, but something that gets kind of crazy. You know, I just did Michael Collins, which has Michael Collins Dublin Apple, which has like pucker, or sour apple pucker, and some cranberry juice and whiskey.
I think there's a time and place for cocktails, absolutely. I mean, you know, after work, stopping off at a bar and having, a Canadian Club Manhattan is great. Yesterday, we had family and friends over for a barbecue at the pool. what my wife and I did the day before is we made a really nice cocktail, which we call the CC Mafia's Kiss. And basically what it is, it's two parts Canadian Club, one part the Kuiper raspberry liqueur, and then about six parts cranberry juice. And so we made a batch of these. We put it into a nice jar and we put it in the fridge. And then yesterday when our guests arrived, all we had to do is, hand out some drinking glasses, put ice, and then just pour right over. So, and then we got to spend more time with family and friends instead of running in and out and getting everyone drinks. And it was delicious. I mean, really refreshing summer drink.
Because that's, some people have also said, look, I like to drink whiskey more in the winter time because it's kind of got that warming nature and it kind of relaxes you. And then for summer, it's like, you know, something cold, frosty, whatever. So in that case, the cocktails probably work better in this time of year, which I guess would make sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Canadian Club, you know, we like to describe it as a light, smooth, and mellow whiskey. And it's quite versatile. Basically, anything you use vodka in, try it with Canadian Club. Here in Canada, one of the more popular drinks is the CC Caesar. In the United States, of course, are Bloody Marys. But here we use Clamato juice. And so instead of using vodka as your alcohol base, we strongly suggest using Canadian Club Reserve, the 10-year-old, because of its spiciness. The flavor truly does come out on a CC Caesar.
Okay, so that's a good key point, is that there's a, because of the differences in the recipes, you can get one recipe might work better than the other, where in certain cases, stereotypically, what I've heard is that, oh, well, if it's a blend whiskey, then that's what you use in a cocktail. If it's a single malt or whatever, you do those sipped. But because they could be completely different recipes, age doesn't really make a difference. It's just all about complementing the flavors.
It's complementing the flavor. For example, Classic 12 by Canadian Club, our 12-year-old Double Gold award-winning brand. We've got a drink recipe that we've called the Millionaire's Manhattan. Basically, grab an elegant lowball glass, jam it up with good clean ice that's been in the freezer less than 24 hours, two measures of Classic 12 by Canadian Club, one measure of Harvey's Bristol Cream, the sherry, and garnished with a couple of maraschino cherries. The viscosity of the sherry, the Harvey's Bristol Cream, as well as Classic 12 with the high percentage of barley malt in oak barrels for 12 years, it truly does. They truly do complement each other in a big way.
So, getting back to drinking more of the straight style sipping. What are, since you're the man when it comes to the different type of tasting, and you're all over the world showing people like the glory of the Canadian Club and whiskey in general, are there any specific techniques that you use? Like, is there a certain amount of times you sniff it before you sip it, or is there a certain glass that you'd use? Is there any way you prepare your palate? Like, do you eat something or drink something first? Or, like, what is the basic, what would you do to be able to really set yourself up for a tasting?
I execute a number of formal whiskey tastings, and it's a pattern that I think many ambassadors and distillers follow, but there's some key points of difference. First of all, we suggest to the person doing the formal whiskey tasting is to take a bite of an unsalted cracker, okay, and that sort of neutralizes the palate,
okay,
and then grab a bottle of good quality bottled water at room temperature and ingest some to cleanse your palate. When it comes to the actual tasting, we strongly suggest that that you use a tulip-shaped glass, okay? Long-stem tulip-shaped glass, about 3 ounces, and put a good measure of Canadian Club whiskey in there. The very first thing that we want to do is describe the color. And in the case of Canadian Club, of course, it's bright gold.
Right.
Secondly, we ask the consumer to swirl it, swirl the whiskey in the glass. And I always explain to them to notice the tears, but also the legs that happen on the inside of the glass. For a whiskey enthusiast, we all know that the thicker, the more robust flavor style whiskey, the thicker the tears and the further space between them.
Oh, okay.
For example, if we were to do this with vodka, you probably you should not get any tears or legs on the inside of the glass. So as you go up with age, starting off with Canadian Club, and then let's say the next one that we're going to do is the 10-year-old and then the 12, the consumer will notice on how thick the tears are and the space in between them, okay?
Right.
So with a commodity priced whiskey, for example, that's aged just for 3 years and we're 6 years old, you'll notice that the whiskey just runs right off the glass. So there's no tear formation.
Okay.
Then we suggest to the consumer to put the glass about an inch away from the nose and try to pick up any fruity characteristic. And some folks go, well, wait a minute, how do you get a fruit nose off of this? You know, you're using grains, it's going into barrels. Well, you see, whenever you get alcohol hitting wood, you get the formulation of aldehydes. And aldehydes give off a fruity nose. In the case of the Canadian Club family brands, a lot of folks tell us that the aroma is more of a citrusy, has a citrusy aroma.
Right.
And some folks also say Granny Smith apples, okay? And, of course, always try to part your lips a little bit as you inhale through your nose so that the vapors go through your nasal cavity properly. So now comes time to ingest. Always use a good quality bottled water at room temperature. And, add maybe about, I'd say, you know, five to eight teardrops. So that would be perhaps about half of the size of the capacity of the closure of the water bottle.
Okay,
so we add that. Then we put the glass to our mouth and we ingest some. Now, our tongues are a peculiar instrument. At the front, we get sweetness. On the back, you get bitterness. On the sides, we get acidity. And on the top, you get salt. It's the master blender's art to make any one of those all of those sensations happen. If any one of those don't exist, or if any one of those sensations supersedes the other, the whiskey is deemed to be out of balance.
Okay, yeah, okay. I can see that, which
so
is similar with
we
wine.
We have them ingest, and they'll notice that they'll get, you know, the sweetness on the front and the burn on the back, and then they get some acidity, zestiness on top of their tongue. This is a very well-balanced whiskey when it happens this way. Of course, we're not going to get any salt for Canadian Club. And, you know, that typically happens with Scotch whiskey because where it ages, you know, near the ocean, right on the sea.
Right.
And then wait 10 seconds, close your eyes, and explain what's in your mouth. You know, you could have a short finish. You can have a long, enduring finish. Hmm. It could be oaky. Again, we describe Canadian Club family of brands as light, smooth, and mellow. The reason that our brands are light is because we doubled the still. You know, we've all heard the vodka guys, you know, they double, triple, quadruple distill. Well, the more you distill, the more you rectify, the cleaner it becomes.
Right.
So that's why it's a light whiskey. The reason that it's smooth, the family brands are smooth, is that we blend before aging.
Right.
Yeah, for that superior smoothness. And the reason it has a mellow oak flavor profile is that we use our barrels several times.
Right. That way you don't get the intensity.
And then when it's time to go to the next brand to taste, for example, Canadian Club Reserve 10-year-old, we would typically have a bite of an unsalted cracker and wash it down with that room temperature bottled water.
Sounds good.
And then go through the same process.
So then, that's good information for me and probably everybody else if you want to really find the specific qualities of the whiskeys themselves, you know, competitively or tasting wise or side by side, even with the same brands but different recipes, you can kind of figure out what each person likes. So
yes, exactly.
What now? I had the opportunity to be hopefully I believe one of the first people to try the Red Stag from Jim Beam, which is your like a cherry infused whiskey. Now,
yes.
From a marketing standpoint, is this something that they're trying to be cool and make a new brand? Like, is there anything that you see Canadian Club doing that would try and kind of go this route of infused flavors or different recipes? Are you guys really sticking to, like, I know it's out of everything, whiskey tends to follow the same recipe it has for hundreds of years.
Yes, exactly, Derek. Yeah. Well, we have plans on coming forward with a couple variants, a couple of new variants of Canadian Club. They're not going to be infused with cherry. And but basically, one of them, for example, we're looking at would be perhaps a 25-year-old style whiskey, which we compete against high-end bourbons and single malt scotches with 100% new white oak American bourbon barrels, for example.
Okay.
These are the type of line extensions that we're looking forward. But you see, it's very difficult to project what consumers want. You know, even for our six-year-old, the product that is being manufactured today, blended and aged, we're guessing, you know, what consumers are going to be drinking 6 years from now.
That's true.
For example, we have a 20-year-old variant, and it's doing extremely well in Japan. As well as South Korea. If we would have known that the demand would have been this high, we would have put a lot more to rest 20 years ago.
Yeah. So you've got that. That's a pretty intense challenge right there.
Yeah, we have a brand. We recently came up with a brand called Canadian Club Sherry Cask, and it's regular Canadian Club 8-year-old, not the 6-year-old, the stage for 2 more years, okay? So it's Canadian Club 8-year-old, and what we do is we post-barrel it into a sherry cask that we brought in from Jerez, Spain, from our sister company, Harvey's.
Okay.
And that 8-year-old Canadian Club goes into these large pot belly barrels. I would like to tell you 3 years, but that's a lie. It goes in there for about a year when the master blender and his staff feel that he has achieved the flavor profile that has been established. That's when they will then bottle it. So we bring in 27 barrels from Jerez, Spain at a time. 8-year-old Canadian Club goes into these barrels, and it takes on that sherry flavor. The nose is it's got like Mediterranean fruit, like figs and raisins. And it's almost like a Manhattan in a bottle, and very elegant bottle. I'm looking at one right now. It's got a cork finish with a strip stamp on it. Got a red cartouche on the shoulder, and every bottle on the bottom has a batch number. Right now, we're on batch number 23, and a batch is what we would consider number of bottles yielded from a 27 barrel aging of these barrels from Jerez, Spain. Okay. So every batch tastes a little different.
You're like a vintage almost.
Yeah.
So now, besides that being just a neat idea, was there any, like, what do you guys have to deal with for marketing? Like you said, you got to think ahead, but I noticed, like, for instance, there's the new marketing ads I've seen, like, your mom wasn't your dad's first, which I noticed,
yeah.
And I've heard on the word on the street that this photo of this mid to late 20s guy was you. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct. I'm one of the fellows on one of the ads. And that one specifically, you know, your mom wasn't your dad's first. Damn right, your dad drank it. I'm the guy on the bottom left, if you're looking at the ad. Big afro, and a girl on both sides of me. And one of them on my left was my girlfriend at the time, and the one on the right has been my wife for the last 28 years.
So
didn't
famous.
Go over too well when that ad came
out. Oh, this is true, that you could get put in the bag pretty easy for that one. What's she doing? Didn't clip her out? that's funny.
Well, I was being a good company guy, just like the rest of us, and we all submitted photographs of ourselves back in the late 70s, early 80s, I guess, and they happened to pick one of mine. So,
how do you attract new drinkers that, you know, they've come of age, they're looking, they may probably been in college, they might be drinking like Natty Ice and these weird, you know, watered down beers. How do you attract those people to your brand? How do you get them going, looking at whiskey as the next thing, or does it just happen naturally?
Well, you know, for Canadian Club, it's a lot lighter than a scotch and a lot smoother than a bourbon. So, you know, these folks that are, you know, of legal drinking age now transitioning away from beer and the Canadian Club is a good vehicle to do that because it doesn't have that aggressive oak flavor or the extreme smokiness that impedingness that a scotch has. And to make it relevant to these younger consumers, basically this whole Damn Right campaign, Damn Right Your Dad Drank It, it's basically telling consumers, hey, you know, your dad was a pretty good guy back there. You know, he had a nice home, You know, he's financially stable, you know. He's a pretty good guy. And you know what? Damn right he knew good whiskey. And he drank Canadian Club. So, you know, if your dad has all of those positive attributes, maybe you should consider drinking the same thing that he did.
So and does. You're getting the maturity. You're kind of showing off the maturity. And yet, yeah, I noticed the brands are not expensive, right? Under $20, I can get both 12 and the 10. The classic and the reserve. So you've hit the right price point, and now you're kind of explaining to them, look, this is everybody respects their dad, right? I mean, well, most people.
Absolutely.
So yeah. You've got that going for you, so you can kind of let dad market it for you.
Yeah, and it's not male or female skewed.
Right.
And the kind of fun, we have so many people emailing us on the Canadian Club whiskey.com website that they're saying, what a brilliant idea, and it's just marvelous. And then some of the on-premise activities in bars that we do is we have Canadian Club shoeshine nights. And basically, there's a shoeshine chair, and there's three people, guys and gals, who are giving complimentary shoeshines. And you know, because Dad used to get shoeshines at one time, and he drank Canadian Club. And then it also gives us an opportunity to talk to these folks while they're in the chair,
right.
Give them a complimentary drink, and explain what the cocktail is. It could be CC and ginger ale, or cola, or Manhattan style. The trick is to get it down people's mouths, get it in their mouths, one drink at a time. That's how we end up selling bottles.
Yeah, that's probably this most stable and wise method of doing it, I believe. You got to have the product.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing isn't going to do it all for you. Now, what would you, as a starter product, like let's say I'm new to whiskey. First off, my first experience is I'm actually getting into whiskey over the last year or so because I've had such bad experiences as a college kid with too much of the drink. And for me, it was the Seagram 7 it killed me. And I couldn't stand the taste. Then what I did is I wandered away from Seagram 7s and Jack Daniels to something different, like some Scotches and some Irishes and some Canadians. And I went, wow, this stuff isn't like what I remember. It doesn't taste the same as that stuff. For somebody that's coming into it new, what of the Canadian Club brands would you suggest they start with? Like, do they go high? Do they go low?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's all a personal preference. Of course, you know, the 10-year-old and the 12-year-old, you know, Double Gold Award winning brands, they're going to impart a lot more flavor and character. And if a young consumer is coming into the franchise and, you know, and we've all been accustomed to eating, you know, sweet stuff, you know, perhaps the 6-year-old would probably be the entry level. Brand, you know, aged twice as long than government regulations, and it's quite mixable, quite versatile. A couple of days ago, went golfing, and I love iced tea.
Yes.
And Canadian Club and iced tea is just, they both complement each other so well, and, you know, the tannins in the tea as well as in Canadian Club really do marry well together. So, and there's a lot of folks out there that drink iced tea. And with Canadian Club in there, it just really does enhance it. And as I said, you know, it's quite versatile. The brand is very, very versatile. You can use it in cranberry juice. You know, you can use it as a mixer and a shooter. We've got one called the Classic Booty. And basically what it is, it's one measure of Classic 12 by Canadian Club and one measure of De Kuyper Butterscotch Schnapps. Put it in a cocktail shaker, shake it for about 30 seconds. Oh my God!
I
it tastes like the Werther's candies.
Yes,
you remember those?
Yes,
caramel Werther's candy. It's unbelievable. It's really cool, and a lot of these young folks are doing shooters, so that would be a drink suggestion there as well.
So it really comes down to like, what is your? You got to fit their palate like a shoe. You're like, okay, do you like a running shoe? Well, do you like spicier? Do you like creamier? Do you like smooth? You know, what's your price point, and then kind of take it from there. But because there's the different recipes you can kind of fit. So realistically, what it comes down to is you should probably taste a couple of the different recipes to figure out what you like the best. But none of them are going to be something that you probably aren't going to enjoy. It's just you're looking for the one that you'll enjoy the most.
Correct.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then put them
some
cocktails.
Well put. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that covers all the good. Actually, I got a lot more information than I had expected. So realistically, you've covered everything that I had that was a concern. You know, the other facts are the water thing was big for us because, you know, we've been having this argument, and it's one of those things that in the office, somebody might be like, oh, no, you should do this. Like, well, why? They don't know. Right. Now we have that those specific answers, and to be able to understand how to taste them better, too, is going to be helpful. So I thank you guys for spending the time to educate us, not just on the Canadian Club, but something that you can use and take away for whiskeys in general and other cocktails or other spirits as well.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you for the opportunity to allow us to speak. Very much appreciative.
Excellent. And I know you're a busy man, so I'll let you get back to your stuff. And congratulations on the ad.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And thank you to all of the listeners out there. And, oh, just one more thing, Derek.
Yep.
You can't spell success without CC.
This is true.
I'm a classic fan.
There you go. All right, very good. All right, folks, take care, and thanks again.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.